All right, welcome back to Unleash, the most legit Celtics podcast in the game. I'm your host, Ev, and we have episode number 105 today. We're the most legit Celtics podcast. We're not really keeping it on the Celtics rails today. We're going to veer off a little bit, so stick with me here. It's still going to be a good episode, even though it's not completely Celtics related. But before we get into any of that, I'm going to ask you guys, if you are watching on YouTube, please hit that subscribe button. It's free. It's big, red. It takes 2 seconds, but does a lot to help out the channel as we approach 350 subscribers in just a couple months. So I can't thank you guys enough. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts or listening on Spotify, subscribe, follow there, but definitely consider heading over to the YouTube channel and subscribing to Guy Boston Sports so you can not only listen to this atrocious voice talk basketball, you can also see this ugly mug talk basketball and be a little bit more interactive. So please consider doing that. Before we get into today's episode, I got to tell you guys about Manscaped. So you've heard a little bit about them on the post-game show as well as on this podcast for the last couple episodes. Manscaped is awesome. You can head over to manscaped.com, use promo code UNL to save 20% off and free shipping anything over on the site. You get the Lawnmower 3.0 for all your grooming needs. You get the ball deodorant, the little spritzer that I've been talking about that I love. I'm telling you guys, if you need to feel a little bit more hygienic and feel good as it starts to get warmer and warmer out there, Manscaped is the place to go. Manscaped.com, promo code UNL to save 20% off and free shipping. It's a great brand. Like, I'm not lying. This is not just to collect the bag. This is an awesome, awesome deal for you guys. And I've had so many of you guys tell me you've headed over there, put stuff in your cart, then applied the promo code, and you were like, whoa, now that's a discount. And it's true. So go consider doing that over on manscaped.com. The promo code is UNL. Thanks for Manscaped for sponsoring this video. I'm really, really excited to be working with you guys. So what are we talking about to start this episode? I mean, I didn't want to talk about this, but it is a topic. We got to get into the Myers-Leonard stuff. So if you're not aware, little backstory, Myers-Leonard was on stream playing Call of Duty Warzone and hours into his stream, and I'll also throw in there, not to defend him at all, because I'm going to rip him in a little bit. He was like 12 beers deep when this happened. He was, you know, chugging beers in under 2 seconds every time someone subscribed or did what and donated and whatnot to his channel. He was 12 beers deep, hours into stream, and he used a anti-Semitic slur. I'm not going to say it for obvious reasons. It starts with a K, anti-Semitic slur after, you know, killing someone or he was getting killed, whatever it was. He said it on stream, and repercussions then followed. The only reason I'm talking about this is because right before he did that, and I'm talking like less than an hour, I want to say, before he did that, and I was watching this stream live. That's how I know he was drunk. That's how I know why he was drinking beers. I tweeted out, I'm watching Myers-Leonard eliminate beers on stream right now. I'm 100% a Myers-Leonard fan now. Then, like I said, half hour, 60 minutes later, whatever it was, the guy goes and says that. So now, to, you know, the passerby, they see Myers-Leonard says, anti-Semitic slur. Same day, same stream. Ev says, hey, I'm now a Myers-Leonard fan. Just my luck. So I've never tweeted or never deleted a tweet so quick. And I don't like to delete tweets. Like, I don't think anything I say on there is serious or bad. You know what I'm pretty careful. And that's just one where I absolutely got bent over a barrel and showed the 50 states. So I did delete that because it's just, you know, obviously you can look at the timestamps and be like, wait a second. Ev tweeted that before Myers-Leonard said anything. But just to be safe, I wanted to officially revoke my Myers-Leonard fandom because that must have been the quickest fandom ever. I was a fan for 1 hour. He said something stupid. And I was like, yeah, I'm out of here. But so he said that. You guys can find the clip and whatnot. It's all over the internet. But what I wanted to talk about were I guess, two things. So his apology was bull. I don't need to show it to you here. You guys can go find it. I think Shams tweeted it out. I think he probably put it on his Instagram. That's where they got it. He pretty much said he wasn't educated on the word. He didn't know how offensive it was, and he didn't know the history. And I can body bag that apology and say, what do you mean you didn't know it was offensive? He literally used it as he was trying to offend someone. Like I said, it was when he was killing someone in the game or they were killing him, I forget. But he pretty much was like trying to shit on them and be like, you suck, you suck, you suck, you blank. He wasn't saying, hey, teammate, good game, you blank. You know what I mean? Like, he was using it in an offensive way. So then to backpedal and say, hey, pal, I didn't know that it was offensive. I wouldn't have said that word if I knew it was offensive. I'm not educated on it. Is a little bit of bull to me. So I didn't buy his apology. I didn't buy any of the you know, the repercussions that were following. FaZe Clan dropped him. Nice. He's a basketball player. You think he really cares about that? The Miami Heat said he's going to be away from the team indefinitely. Away from the team indefinitely? That's what we had, right? Read that for me, would you? Shams tweeted, Heat's Myers Leonard has been fined $50,000 and suspended from Heat facilities and activities for 1 week. How do you go from this guy, we're cutting ties to him, he's suspended indefinitely, he's away from the team, to saying, hey, 7 days later, that's okay that he said that. He can come back. Oh, but at the same time, we'll fine him, like, what, less than 5% of his salary. The guy makes, you know, $10 million in 1 year because he said this. We'll take 50 of that back. I just think it's kind of bull. Like, I think he looks like a fraud. I think the NBA ends up looking like a fraud to me just because, no pun intended here, if you didn't know, his, like, gaming name is The Hammer, but they did not bring any sort of hammer down on him whatsoever. It's like, you don't think Myers Leonard is like, okay, 50K out the door, whatever, you know, a tens of millionaire just in 1 year of my contract, and I can take a week off from basketball or from activities. Because isn't he hurt? I want to say he's hurt too. I don't even know. But that would make it even worse. He's injured right now, isn't even playing, not like he was before, but injured, and he has to be away from the team for 7 days. So he pretty much said, I'm going on a $50,000 vacation. Don't have to have any NBA responsibilities or have to show up to meetings, facilities, activities, anything like that. I just have to pay 50 grand, which is like pocket change to some of these guys. So I don't know. It's a big time fraudulent, like, oh, we're going to act like we care. Come on now. If the NBA cared about this, they would do something about it. And it's like, I think we've seen this multiple times. I'm pretty sure Hibbert a long time ago said, you know, a sort of a homophobic slur or something like that. And then Montrezl Harrell, I forget what he said, but it's like it's these slaps on the wrist that say, no, that's not okay. But then it's like, okay, well, let's move on. You know what I mean? This isn't Myers Leonard's last team. This isn't his last job. It's not his last paycheck. And even though what he said could have been a lot worse and a lot worse things have been said, I get that. I would like a little bit more of, like, you know, a firm, like, hey, if we are going to start taking things that guys say outside of basketball or do outside of basketball, I would like them to be serious about it. Because Myers Leonard was drunk, I get it. But sometimes the truth comes out when you're drunk. And if he says he wasn't educated on it, okay, that means that you're hammered drunk and can just pull this word out of your ass. It might be, you know, an indication of the type of person he is or the character to let it slip. And we've all said stupid stuff. But for you to get live on a podcast or live on your Twitch stream and say something stupid takes another level of idiot. And that just shows how comfortable he is with the word. Like, for me, for example, I'm on this podcast recording it. I go live after every single Celtics game, right? I've said some bad things in my day, joking around with friends, anything like that. Everyone has. But to not have the conscious effort of, hey, there are thousands of people listening and watching, I can't say something stupid? Like, be smart about this? That's where Myers Leonard went wrong. It's like, he knows what he's doing. He's the one that pressed go live on Twitch. For him to be comfortably saying that and throwing it around and throwing it in an offensive way, it's just kind of bold to me that he gets a slap on the wrist. You know, it's like people are out there in the world getting canceled, I feel like, for far less. And that's what kind of annoys me. And if you think I'm being too, like, cancel culture about this, that's fine. Like, you know, like I said, I think everyone makes mistakes and stuff. I just wish that I'm fine with Myers Leonard moving on from this mistake, right? I believe in all that. But a $50,000 fine and a 1 week suspension from the team seems stupid to me. Like, that, in my opinion, I know he's not going to do it again because the social repercussions have been way worse. But that, in and of itself, he can go out and do that every single time if he wants to. And he'll take a week off and pay 50 grand. You know what I mean? Not saying he's the one that wants to do that, but him as an example. It's just, I don't know. It's a shame. Maybe I'm overreacting to it. Maybe I'm just pissed at Myers Leonard for making a fan out of me for 1 hour and then doing something to wreck the great thing that we had. But all right, another topic. So that's my take on the Myers Leonard, but let's get into something else. So Rob Barker came out with an article saying Steph Curry ruined the NBA with how he plays. Pretty much said, you know, all these three-point hucks that people heave up there and try and shoot, that's what ruined the NBA, and Steph Curry's to blame. I think that that's a stupid article, and I'm going to explain why. Even if you are, you know, someone that really respects the big man and really respects what the NBA used to be like, let me just get into this. You got to focus on the words here. Ruin the NBA, I think that's completely incorrect. If we want to blame Steph Curry for how the NBA is now, I'll take that. But for example, Steph Curry goes out there, starts shooting threes, right? If that wasn't a trend that was going to stick and follow, or if he wasn't so good at it, it wouldn't have changed the NBA. He was the trailblazer. I get that. But clearly the NBA was ready for that change because they just jumped on board and went with it. And it worked for Curry. It worked to win championships. That's why it changed the league. And it didn't ruin it. If anything, what it did was told these guys that are, you know, genetic freaks, 7'2", 350 pounds type thing. They said, okay, you know what? That's amazing that you're that tall, but you got to work on a little skill. You got to give me something a little bit more than just your height or your dunking ability or leaping ability. So, and I think that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing to see guys like Joel Embiid, who, you know, 20 years ago would have still been a really good big man. Big, down low, physical, can plow people over, dunk the ball, post moves, you name it, big man-wise, Joel Embiid has it. But would you not agree that Joel Embiid's a more skillful player than Shaq, than Will Chamberlain? You know what I mean? Like, Joel Embiid can do a lot of what they did, and I'm not saying, you know, I don't want the history hardos to come down and be like, are you kidding me? You know, no championships, no MVP, like, save it. I'm talking about just pure skill here. Joel Embiid is a guy that can do all that, but dribble, pass, and most importantly, shoot. That's impressive. That makes him a more, you know, all-around skillful NBA player. So I think that that's sort of a good thing that what Steph Curry has done to this league. It's a good way to explain it. Like, I think that it's pretty interesting that Steph Curry changed the game in a way that, one, gave all the, you know, guys that are around 6 feet, not athletically gifted, nothing like that, gave them a chance to be recruited to college and then drafted high in the NBA. Trae Young as a great example, you know, like he's a guy that 20 years ago may not have even made it into the league or made it into a D1 college. That's the first part. Second part is this ripple effect of making everyone have to focus on becoming a little bit more skillful, I think has been great for the league. Now, I've talked about this before too. I love the old school sort of big man vibe that a guy could have, right? And I think that the one drawback, but again, it doesn't constitute a ruining of the league. The one drawback is those guys have become few and far between. But if you are still that dominant down low big man guy, it makes you a little bit more of a hot commodity, a little bit more special nowadays. But at the same time, I do think it forces you to want to become a better basketball player, what Steph Curry does. As the ball moves farther and farther away from the hoop, just being tall doesn't do it anymore. You know what I mean? And I think for the majority of the league and the majority of the public, that's a good thing. As much as we miss the physical down low play, post pay, you know, whatever, you name it, I do think it's been a positive for the league what Steph Curry has done, and instead of blaming him for something, I think you got to give credit to it. You know, if Steph Curry did this and somehow changed the game without winning, whatever it was, then sure, if it was a bad product, but now you have higher scoring games and you have, you know, big threes and these ridiculous logo threes, it is really exciting. Okay, so from just a consumption standpoint, that's a better game than a 86-87, you know, defensive battle. It is. And you're lying if you would say you'd like to watch defense. Anyone says that I love watching defense, you love the idea of watching defense. Actually watching the game, you know, thinking of it as a commodity that you are, you know, taking part in, you're lying to yourself if you say you'd rather watch a back and forth game where no one's scoring than a game where they're firing off threes and going up against each other. And that's just my honest opinion. So while I still like the idea of the big man, I still think it's a great thing to have that powerful guy down low. I think it's great that guys like Vucevic or Joel Embiid, those type of guys, Jokic is a good example too. These big men that are physically huge and in previous, you know, decades would have just been guys that don't move 5 feet away from the hoop. Those guys now have changed their game, become way more special basketball players, and are way more all-around skillful. And I think that should be fair to say. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know why you would claim that Steph Curry ruined the NBA. You could say he changed it. You could say he changed it for the worse. But if you think the NBA is a ruined product right now, I don't get it. And I think that just Rob Barker, you know, wearing another huge L on his forehead. It's my honest opinion. Like, he stinks. Rob, I call him Barker because all he does is bark. But but it's just, I don't know. What do you want to hear from him? Like he's gonna constantly claim that you know, one, the Patriots suck, Steph Curry stinks. Anything that's popular, Rob, I'll call him his correct name, Rob Parker, hates. He does. He hates anything good. And he's got a big enough forehead to wear an L on it. But anyways, let's move on. We're bringing it back to the Celtics. We're gonna keep it on the Celtics trend a little bit here. I asked you guys on Twitter, I'm gonna pull it up for y'all. I asked you guys, what do you expect from the Celtics in the second half of the year? Now, mind you, the Celtics are on a 4-game win streak. They do tip off against the Nets tonight, which I believe is going to be a very difficult game. But let's at least get into it. And then we are going to look at the new jerseys here. But I'm pulling up so some of you guys can get your shout-out where due. Let me make it bigger, and then boom, let's pop it up on the screen for the YouTube listeners. All right, so here we are. I said, what are your predictions for the second half of the Celtics season? Kyler Murray is skills is incarnate. Kyler is, I call you. You know you're my guy. Says, we're going to tank for another shooting wing. I don't think so. Straight Homa, who is always in the mentions here, love seeing that, says, same as they've been all season without fail. Playing into July, they'll be raising the banners that are court level back to the rafters. Then we'll have a separate ceremony for 18 joining them a few months later. And then the end justifies the mean, it's banner season. I know, hey, I'm going to say this. Straight Homa has been on this train of its banner 18 year, even when the Celtics were sucking. So don't think I don't see that, Straight. I'm telling you, like, I've seen that, and you deserve the credit when they go out and win it. If they go out and win it, I'll say. Ging says, Eastern Conference Finals to 7 games, IDK, what happens versus the Nets? Yeah, I mean, I don't know what my official now changed prediction, I guess, would be. Maybe I'll give that an upcoming episode of the podcast, because I'm still sort of in the air on where I think the Celtics team's going to end up or go. I think I got to see a little bit of how they come out of the break. AC says pain. AC's my guy. Kyler says hopefully dubs. Clint says title bound, pending Time Lord's playing time. Clint's been a Time Lord guy since the start. Like, I think since they drafted him. Which, not saying people aren't Time Lord guys or Rob Williams fans, but he's been the play Time Lord even before Time Lord deserved playing time, which, credit, you know, hats off to him. Ron says, our two young studs will carry the joy of being in the All-Star over. Let's hope so. Let's hope that they're going to look good coming back. Marcus Smart's back. Let's hope. I'm praying for that. Zoob says, Marcus Smart comes back and we defend much better. And yes, no Teague. Teague's been playing better. Teague started to step it up a little bit. You guys got to give Teague credit where it's due. I'm not, and now, I'm only saying that because I sort of, I guess, defended Teague to start the year. I thought, like, oh my God, he's going to be great for this team. I was a big Teague guy. He's obviously had me, you know, kicked off the bandwagon because he has been terrible. But I think we got to give him a little bit more credit than we're giving him. Just my opinion. Because of how he's been playing late, not for the whole season. Let's see. Suit says, high hopes. Think Smart returning is a plus. Much needed rest for the Jays will allow us to pick up momentum and play much better as a team than the first half. Then we can push into the top three. So that is the thing. If they get this momentum, Marcus Smart, say they even add, like, you know, a couple bench guys, whatnot, they do have the core. The hard part's done now. This is a little bit of a rant for me too, all right? But the hard part is done for this Celtics team. That's what people don't understand. Everyone wants to rag on the team, say that they're not contenders at all, which right now, even Danny Ainge said it, it's true. But the hard part of the puzzle is complete. You know when you're doing a puzzle and you finally get, like, the whole border? I'm not, you know, not too versed in puzzles here. But the whole border is complete. All of a sudden, now you're just filling in, you know, little pieces and bits. The hard part has actually been done for the Celtics. They have the Jays. They have Marcus Smart, Kemba Walker. Hate him or love him, he's a 20-point guy that you now have that can also, you know, be relied on. And they have, you know, the core already ready to go. The little peripherals need to be tinkered with. So the hard part is all set for the Celtics. Most teams have the peripherals. Like, they have the okay players, right? And what are they doing? Where's our superstar? Where are our young guys? What are we going to do? The Celtics don't have that stressor. The Celtics are good to go right now in terms of, you know, working from the inside out, whereas a lot of teams only have that, you know, wall or perimeter, and then they have nothing to protect. The Celtics have the core, and now they're just got to work on adding a few pieces to get to the next level, which is a good problem to have. I think, you know, we're jaded Celtics fans. We want to take the opportunity to shit on anything we can. But I do think, to put it in perspective, think about other teams that have these guys that you want. You know what I mean? The Rockets have these bench players that you want, or the Magic have these bench players that you want, but they have no sort of foundation. Just my take on it. Ian says, either going to be a top three seed and make the Eastern Conference Finals, or the 6-7 seed. So you're pretty much saying it's either going to go great or go really poorly. If I had money, I'd bet I'd take the first, but both are possibilities for this team, mostly because of injuries. Brian says, I hate that I don't edit this podcast much sometimes, because that's staying in. Tough question to answer, honestly, until the trade deadline passes. Let's see. Kat saying pain. LFG saying more of the same. Mike saying they finish with a 600 or better record, an additional veteran wing. Kyle Anderson, Harrison Barnes make it to the fourth Eastern Conference Finals, where they lose to the Nets and their 300 free throw attempts. Peter says they play hard. Soul, little gif. Little gift. These visuals are perfect for the YouTube crowd. If you're not subscribed on YouTube, head over and subscribe. Sean says, not to be biased, but I think we start off wicked hot, stun the Nets, and get a win streak going on and off for the finish of the year. Strong end of the four spot. IDK, who will beat us in seven games if everyone's healthy and we add some pieces. Let's just hope that they... I agree. Like, a healthy Celtics team, we're yet to see. Chris is saying, if they don't add anyone, I'm thinking about a... 575 win percentage in the second half of the season. So above 500, but nothing getting it done. Kyle's saying, don't give me hope. Jay is saying, we get Smart back and we defend better. Hopefully we make the playoffs with three or four seeds. A lot of these pain gifts, boy, I can tell what people did, right? I can tell what people did. They were just like, this team is giving me so much Spain without the S. Where is that pain gif? Earl says, gotta set the tone tomorrow. I do think that this game, which is tonight, so I don't know if this podcast will be out by game time. It probably will if I get these editing fingers moving quick. I do think that we, you know, it's a big-time tone-setting type of game. Even if they lose to this Nets team, as long as they compete and play well, I think that we're looking at a good game there. Tess is saying, more Rob and less Tristan. I like Tristan Thompson, but Rob's the highest big man on my list, so I'll give it to you. Robert says, they finished sixth seed, trade for a bench player with 5 million TP and lose in the second round. And AI is saying third seed. And then Kevin says, Romeo Langford with another phantom injury. F this kid. Yeah, the Romeo Langford crowd, I think I've talked about it a little bit, right? I really don't get the... love for Romeo Langford. Like, I want to love the kid and believe in him, but I don't see where that all comes from, if I'm being completely honest. Like, I don't see why people believe that this kid's going to be a crucial player. I can understand the hope. I think that's a fine word. I hope Romeo Langford, you know, is great for this team too. But to base that off of anything close to concrete is a little wild to me, just being honest. But that's neither here nor there. I don't think Romeo Langford's going to be, you know, the crucial piece to this team like some might think. And if he is, then it's sort of just a win for the team. You know what I mean? So, like, I'll take it if that's the case. But, all right, let's get into the last thing on today's agenda. We're looking at the earned edition jersey. So here they are. I got to give you my takes on these. When these first came out, do you guys remember when these first came out? I don't know if you can see my cursor on the video if you're on YouTube. This Celtics and the number were way more neon green when they were, like, leaked. I firmly believe that because I remember thinking these were pukes. Like, ugh, I hate that. Why are we doing this? This is a terrible look. This is a bad jersey. As they were officially released, I don't think these are that bad. Do I love them? Maybe not, because, you know, it's just another example of the Celtics really not getting creative with their, you know, earned editions or city editions or any sort of alternate jerseys. They just seem to love the classic go-to, and they really change it up, you know, minimally. This I don't hate as much as I once did. I hated these when they leaked a few months back. You know, I think we talked about it on the Tommy Points podcast, so you can check that out. I really didn't like the neon, but I remember the Celtics in the zero or the number for anyone. You know, it was way more neon-y and it just looked terrible. These I don't necessarily hate. So I'll give, out of 10, let me grade these jerseys. I'll give them a 6.3. You know what I mean? They're not great. They're not bad. Would I wear one? Would I buy one? No. If I played for the team and got paid millions of dollars, I'd wear it. Fair enough. But just not loving it, I would say. I'm not loving that jersey, and I don't know if there's anything to be done to that jersey to make me want to, like, you know, love it. You know, I think I saw, shout out to my guy, the Boston Brit, change the neon with a little bit of gold, and that looked fire. But yeah, that's what we got on today's episode, guys. Thank you very much for tuning in. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple, be sure to hit that subscribe, follow, and also go into the ratings, leave us a rating and review. We love reading those. And, you know, if you're interested in heading over to YouTube, head over there and be sure to subscribe to the channel there. Like this video and let me know in the comments down below if you agree or disagree with anything we had to say today. We got into some sticky subjects, so I'm sure we got some opinionated people in the comments down below. So I'll catch you guys in the next episode. It's always been a pleasure. Peace out.